It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 432. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I got a great question. Voicemail that's only 1 minute. But it sets up a long discussion to be able to answer it. And I'll be getting to that in a couple minutes. The phone number where you can call and leave a voicemail message, and I'll get it right onto the next show. It's 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. That's my Skype inbound phone number. Follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a friend request on Facebook, and that's Facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. I use Twitter and Facebook to let everybody know when I am posting my show, when new content's being posted, when I'm going live. Follow me if you want the latest info on anything that I'm doing relating to the Mike Tech Show or Tech Vets, especially schedule changes. And we got the holidays coming up. So real quick, for Thanksgiving, since that falls on a Thursday in the U.S. on November 22nd. And then I just realized I was going to do the show on the 21st, but that's my son's youngest son's birthday. So it may be the 20th. So I'm not sure yet. It's funny. I had it all planned for the 21st until I realized, it's really the 20th that I may have to do the show. So I'll let you know. Just stay tuned for that. And as we get close to the Christmas holidays, I think we're okay for Thursdays because Christmas and New Year's falls on a Tuesday. So I think we're safe having everything on Thursday nights. So that shouldn't be a problem. But usually if Christmas or Christmas Eve falls on a Thursday, I'll change the schedule. With that, I want to talk about my sponsor and Instant House Call, which is the best software and service that you can use for remote access, for any remote access that you want, for helping a client, helping a customer. It's the best. They've asked me to do something different for the month of November. I didn't realize this until Corey, the representative from Instant House Call, who I deal with, and he says they sponsor what is called Movember. And this started in Canada, and I know a lot of people do this, and especially hockey players. I know in the United States, where October's dedicated to breast cancer awareness for females, Movember, the month of November, for men's health. And the Mo is for mustache. So let me read this. During November each year, Movember is responsible for the sprouting of mustaches on thousands of men's faces and around the world. With their Mo's, these men raise vital funds and awareness for men's health, specifically prostate cancer and men's mental health initiatives. On Movember 1st, guys register at Movember.com with a clean-shaven face. For the rest of the month, these men groom and trim and wax their way into the annals of fine mustachery. So, what is Instant House Call doing for Movember? Well, Corey says he's putting their money where their Mo is. On November 1st, he shaved off his beard that he's had for better part of 12 years and growing a Mo. I'm even taking, and this is a quote, I'm even taking votes on what type of mustache to don. and he left a, he has an attachment. But here's where you can help support this initiative and win a copy of Instant House Call. Anyone who joins our Movember campaign is eligible to win a free copy of Instant House Call for a year. At the end of the month, the person with the best mustache wins. It costs nothing to join, and fundraising, while appreciated, is optional. Now, if you don't want to grow the mustache, then if you can't or you don't want to grow it, listeners can donate $25 or more to Men's Health Research and the Movember campaign, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free copy of Instant House Call. I'm really glad that Corey asked me to talk about that, and I promised I would do that in lieu of just a regular ad for their software. All of the links to everything I'm talking about and entering that contest will be in the show notes. So to kick things off, I want to play this voicemail, and I will do my best in answering this.
Hey, Mike. My name is Kyle. We spoke a few weeks back in the Mike Tech Show chat, and I just have a quick question for you. Hopefully you could answer it. I'm trying to get more retainer clients and business clients and take my focus away from trying to get those residential clients, which seems so hard, at least in my area. But there's plenty of businesses and there's plenty of small businesses around. I was wondering, how do I approach that retainer client pitch and what to charge? And I can understand if you don't want to talk prices, but maybe some type of ballpark where I should aim for, just to do some type of maintenance and just keep everything running smoothly in businesses and stuff like that. It would be really awesome if you could help me out with that. Keep up the great work. Love the show. And hope to talk to you soon. Thank you.
Kyle, great question. And I've addressed this in the past on the Mike Tech Show, and I'm going to do it again here. Also, Carrie Holzman and I discuss this, seems to be on a regular basis. You want to go to tech-vets.com. Check out some of the older podcasts where you can look in the topics for that initial paragraph that states what the show's about, and you'll see increasing client base, getting retainer customers. You want to go back and start listening to all those Tech Vets shows because we cover that in great detail. I do want to address something, making that change, because I had to when I left the corporate world and started consulting and how to make that change from break fix and your regular residential clients and trying to make that change into attaining retainer clients and regular business clients and having that on a regular basis. It's not easy. The main thing is trying to close and get them to sign a contract. And the key items that you must cover: preventive maintenance. You want to be regularly working and updating their computers, making sure their antivirus is updated, making sure you're cleaning out temp files, making sure that the latest Java, Flash, all those, Shockwave, that everything's updated. And you want to tell them, yes, they could automatically apply that themselves, but sometimes there's updates you shouldn't apply. And how are they going to know the difference? You're going to be on top of it, and you're going to know when you should be applying those updates and when you should be not doing it. Having you regularly touch, maybe it's remoting in and doing those systems, and being a constant presence that it will minimize downtime. There's another thing. It's easier to measure their IT budget, because having a regular couple hours a month over, let's say, a year, let's say 2 hours a month, a contract, because they have a couple workstations, and that's 24 hours. What will happen is you will basically guarantee that that's what their IT budget from a consulting standpoint is going to be, because you may have months that may be 3 or 4 hours. You may have months that are less than 2, but it'll average out. The hardest thing to do is picking that number and getting it. What I tell clients, we'll start here at this amount of hours per month, and we can always adjust it. If we constantly find that I'm spending too much time, we're going to ratchet it up a little. Or that maybe we went too high. And I had a client a few years ago that I, you know, we went from 15 hours a month down to 5 because for the first 6 months, they really needed that high touch, that large amount of hours for supporting them. And then as we went on, well, they needed less and less, and then it leveled out. So that's a way to approach. Another one is you will give them a priority. They will now have basically they won't have to take a number and wait for you to come out. You will jump the minute they call, and they will be worked on first. Getting a priority for your service is important, and a retainer client will get the priority over someone that does not. Leveling their cost for support, giving them priority in terms of response for you to work on them, being proactive by minimizing outages and downtime because you are regularly working and looking in on them. I think those are enough items to help you close a deal. I know there's more items, I'm sure, out there, but they're my main points. And if someone can't respond to those, well, there's nothing you're going to do to get them to sign them up as a retainer client. Move on to someone else. Because if they don't get it, they'll never get it. All right? And no matter how much you hammer away at them. Try those things and see if that will help you get a contract. This kind of eases into another topic here where I've been asked many times, Mike, I want to learn servers. How do I do that? How did you do it? That's so hard. I spent 30 years of my life in the corporate world every day learning about servers. How did I learn? I learned by doing. But you also have to get some training. You can't just because it's a server, it's a different piece of hardware, but you have server-based operating systems that you need experience with. You have Windows Server 2003 still out there. You have 2008, and now you got 2011, 2012. You got all these server platforms that you need to know how to create accounts. You need to know about DNS and how it works within your server. Yes, we know about DNS and using, you know, maybe OpenDNS or DNS from our ISPs, but if you have a server with Active Directory running and that has DNS integrated, you better know what you're doing with it. That requires training. There's no magic link that I can give you. There's no one book that I can recommend. You need to, A, find a way to obtain the software and have a platform to be able to start playing with it, whether it's virtual or whether it's some older hardware. You might have to bite the bullet and buy a subscription to TechNet Plus or become a Microsoft Action Pack subscriber and get the software that way. You're going to have to make an investment. You're going to have to make an investment in your education. You're going to have to take some classes. There's no way that you're just going to magically learn it without someone helping you. Even I went to some Microsoft classes in the middle of when I was in the corporate world, especially migrating to a new domain and moving from 2003 to 2008. I'll never forget going into when we were going to do a massive upgrade and change our domain controllers over. I made sure my team and I were properly trained on doing that migration. And I made sure we had in the budget training dollars. I would go to Microsoft Tech Ed almost every year. know, 98, 99, 2000. I remember 98, I was in New Orleans. 99 was Dallas, and 2000 was Orlando. And I would go with a couple other team members, and we would go down and we would basically divide and conquer, and I would go to the different tech ed sessions just to learn more about servers and tuning and performance and the latest and greatest of the operating systems and what Microsoft was preaching and coming out with, getting tips and learning about security. So you got to make an investment. And as much as I like to say I'm self-taught, well, clearly I went to some training and I went to seminars. And what I would do was I would make sure as I got older and I became, as I was more, I guess, management oriented and project management oriented, I would rely on my engineers to become more of the expert. And then I would tap them and say, oh, explain that to me. Show that to me. I would always be involved. Even though I couldn't maybe attend those technical sessions, I wouldn't get too far away that I wouldn't know it, where I would ask my engineers, hey, show me that. Can you spend a couple hours after work? Or maybe we'd do a nice lunch and learn, and I'd buy them all lunch and they would show me some things. It's very important that you are formally trained with some of the structure of managing a server environment. And if it's just one server, it's not as complicated, but the fundamentals and everything is still there of everything that I'm talking about. That's the complicated side. The question is, for clients that you are working with, do they really need a server? And the main question that you have to ask, do they have an application that is client server that has to run from a server that you would then access that information from a client, from a workstation, but the application is running? Now, not just a central place that's a share that you store things. That's different. Shared storage is different than a client server app where a SQL database is involved. And I guess that's where it really comes down to it. If there's SQL involved, some kind of database, and that's running, you absolutely have to have a server. But if it's just shared storage we're talking about, maybe it's everybody's using the same program and they just need to point to a place. It's like an Access database or some shared folders. Well, you could use a NAS device, network attached storage. And there are so many. You have the Black Armor, you have Synology, you have FreeNAS, which is a great Linux distribution to be able to set up a NAS environment. You want to look into those options. Now you don't need to have Active Directory running and all the complications that I was describing about a server. The more server experience you have, the easier I think it's going to be to get a retainer client, because now if the business has a server and you have experience with managing and supporting a server, well, it makes it very easy. So me coming from the corporate world with a client that had a server made it very easy, and I made them feel very comfortable that I could handle it. And a great example of how I won my biggest client, it was because it was about backups, and I could tell from what the person that I replaced, they were coming at things from the workstation. They had no business and should never have ever touched a server. They were applying desktop solutions to a server environment, and you can't do that. So they were making wrong decisions for backing up and maintaining the server. And I seen that right away. And once I implemented a proper backup, immediately they seen, oh my God, we were able to test a disaster recovery test in literally the first week that I was working with them, where they had spent 2 years prior not having a successful disaster recovery test. I accomplished that in the first couple days that they met me. There, I was able to win them over. And not just that, but winning them over, they then handed me another client, a friend of theirs that needed help, that became a retainer client. So now it became like dominoes. And I was able to gain some momentum and get those retainer clients. Now I felt comfortable having that. Because let me tell you, it's very nerve-wracking when you go into that first client and you got to be able to have a contract and ask for a check on your first day that you're there. And you want them to sign this and then give you a check for the next 3 months as a retainer. Let me tell you, that takes some guts. And I did that. Once you do it and they sign it and said, hold on, can you hang out a couple minutes and we'll cut you that check? Let me tell you, that makes a world of difference. And you're like, oh, all that pressure is gone. And you now have the confidence to go nail the next one, the next one, the next one. And you can start doing it. Now, my biggest problem is maintaining them, maintaining that level, and trying to get new business, because I've lost some retainer clients just because of mergers and a company taking over another company, and the company that's taking them over has their own IT staff and they don't need me. You're in a constant state of looking to continuously gain more clients as you want to hold on to the ones you have and then keep getting newer ones to replace the ones that you might be losing. You have to stay on your toes and you have to be continuously operating at a high level. I think with getting you at least organized into helping you maybe gain some confidence and gain some of the ideas that you're going to use when you're in a discussion to close the contract, to convince them that they need you. And then also, hopefully I've enlightened you a little bit. If you don't have server experience, what you may have to go through. I'm sorry, I don't have the magic book or the link that's going to answer everything for you. And that's what a lot of you are asking me. And it doesn't exist. It requires a lot of hard work, dedication, and education. Okay. What if I went to you, you were a certified Cisco engineer, and I said, can you give me a link to get me to, so I can be a certified Cisco engineer? Is there one link? You've spent your life becoming that network engineer. Is there a link you can give me? It's just not happening, okay? I would look and Google for your area first, Microsoft classes, making sure that, and I'm not even sure if there's still those tracks that Microsoft used to have, which was MCSE and all those different alphabet soup of letters for training. I'm sure there's still classes out there, and maybe a local community college. Look at a library that's in your area. Try to find where classes are and take a look. They're not cheap. You may have to begin, even if you want to be a consultant, entry-level jobs within an IT department where they're paying for education. You know, that might be something to take advantage of to kind of get some training, get your feet wet, get a little experience. And then, you know, once you feel comfortable and you've learned a lot, hit doing some consulting. If you don't have the time to do that and you are good at training yourself, then look for some of those. Maybe there's some online training, or like what someone said, what about CBTs, where, you know, get some training, get a book and start following it and start doing it and create your own lab environment. These things, they're not easy. You can't become a server expert without some hard work. And maybe hearing this, you might decide, wow, you know what? I'm not going to chew that off. I'm going to become a better workstation support person embrace NAS technology where it's appropriate, and then maybe seek partnering with someone else who knows servers, or just avoid that totally because you don't have the time to take it on. But it's a lot of work, and it is very different than a workstations and a workstation environment. I have a couple Twitter questions, and then I have two questions for myself that I need some help on. And it's funny, this is a question that one of you would normally write and ask me. And here I am asking you, I need a recommendation for a Mac utility that will synchronize files from a networked Windows server, so a share on a server, and it will synchronize back to a directory on a MacBook Pro. I need a Mac-based utility for file synchronization. I've not had to do that with the Mac. I'm looking for some recommendations. This question and the next one I'm going to ask, yes, I could Google it and there's 15, there's 20 solutions, but I don't know which one to pick and I don't have the time to go through everyone. So that's why I'm asking if you know anyone that specifically likes a particular program, then don't just Google it and give me that list. I've done that. I need some real recommendations from someone that has lived the pain of maybe testing these out and have selected one. And the same is the next one. And I can't believe I'm asking this because the answer is not TrueCrypt. And I'll tell you why. I have a client, this title insurance company. They have USB sticks that are branded with their name on them, and they want to give personal information about the transactions on this USB stick, but they need to password protect the USB stick. So we can't go into an expensive USB stick like an iron key or something that's just cost prohibitive. We already have the USB stick. They're already purchased. They're like $5 USB sticks, okay? And they're only 2 gig. We need to be able to quickly, easily password protect them. Is there an answer? I Googled this and found 10 programs, and I'm going to start begin testing them. But right now, TrueCrypt is too complicated. They cannot hand this USB stick and expect someone to launch TrueCrypt and mount it and try to access it. Can't do it. It's got to be something where they can plug it in, and it's going to be fairly simple so we can just enter a password with minimal instructions. When I mean minimal, I mean this has got to be easy. We're talking they are technologically challenged. Think of giving this to your great-grandmother and saying, get to the files, okay? Kate, it could be either one. The question was, does it have to be the whole disk or just the files? It could be either one. It just has to be easy to get to it. So that's the requirement. If you can help me out there, I'll tell you what. If you can help me with either of these, I will hook you up with some really nice swag. Okay? So I'll make it worth your while. Mike Tech Show hat and shirt. I will hook you up if you can get me some solutions here. Twitter question. And this is someone who has a Gateway laptop. The keyboard is bad, and it will not accept a USB keyboard so they can enter the password. Since they're getting a prompt, I'm assuming that the rest of the laptop's functional. It's just a problem with the keyboard, since they are being presented with a password prompt. If the USB ports are not working, first, get another keyboard and try it. Kate just recommended the on-screen keyboard. How do you bring up the on-screen keyboard? So I'm not sure. And I'm not sure what operating system we're looking at here. And we don't know the age of the laptop. Here's the answer that you don't want to hear. It may be time for a new laptop. Open up the laptop, take the hard drive out, mount it into a SATA, a docking station, or a SATA to USB cable, and copy the data over and get a new laptop. If there's that much damage doing it, I don't know if it's worth trying to get into it. If you just want to get to your data, take the drive out. So I'm giving you another way of looking at this. And if you can't get a keyboard to work. So I know that may not be what you want to hear, but Let me know if that helps. What do I use to keep track of all my clients and their issues? And do I use any help desk software? Another great question. You know what I use to keep track of my clients? I have a pad and a pen, and I take lots of notes. I bring that home, and I stick it in a manual folder, and I file it in a cabinet. I also take that note, and I scan it. And what I'll do is I'll look at it two ways. I may scan it quickly as a PDF with my HP multifunction device, or what I've done with some clients is I have that magic wand and I will run it down the page, and that page, it'll become a JPEG right onto the SD card, and I will then add that to their folder on my desktop, which then is backed up. In my documents, I have a clients directory. Under that, I have lots of Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PDFs, JPEGs, everything relating to that client, all manually placed in a directory that's the client's name. I don't use any special software. That's all I do. I use Word and Excel. There may be Evernote notes, depending on when I'm taking the notes, but I'll tell you, they're more manual than they are electronic. Now, do I use any help desk software? No, I don't. And I know there's plenty of them out there. I've just had no time to investigate and start implementing one. So that's the only reason that I don't have it. I know there are some good programs out there. I now put this to you. If you have some recommendations on some software or some ways of managing that, I would appreciate it. Always wanted to build a database of my solutions that I could have, that I could always go back and look up. I always regret that. And there have been times where I've seen something again and I'm like, wow, I know it was a year ago. I solved this for somebody else and I can't remember the solution. A lot of times I'll remember it, but there are those occasions that I can't remember it. And I wish I had a help desk database that I've recorded everything. One of the problems being by myself, I have nobody to delegate entering that stuff. And if I was big enough that I could have a secretary or somebody, an assistant, somebody that's answering the phone and maybe could be entering some things and taking care of some of that, I'll call it office work, that would be great. I could, it'd be nice to have, but I can't afford that person yet. So somebody that would take on organizing all of this, boy, that'd be awesome. Hopefully someday I will get there. And when I can afford someone that can do this, I'll let you know. What's out there that you know that's not that hard to implement? I'd be curious. My answer should be give you encouragement. If you are in the position of making that transition to doing consulting, hey, you don't have to invest in any software or applications or anything to keep track of your clients. You know what? Have a directory structure set up, and everything you do for that client, make sure it's in each of those directories. That's it. Keep the manual files. That's important. I got these little yellow folders all over the place with a P-Touch name of the client. And when I'm quickly heading to another client, you see me grabbing those folders, sticking them in my bag, and I head off to that particular client. Having a Brother P-Touch labeler, I think, is more important than anything else. And label everything so you can find it and you know where it's at. And, you know, that labeler is great to take to a client and labeling their equipment and labeling those cables. It gives you that professionalism that you want to demonstrate to your client. When clients see me labeling everything, I don't hear them say anything. I can see the smile. And you know what that smile is? They're happy that they've selected me to do that work because I am that detail-oriented. So you want to convey that. and doing those little things is very, very important, because you're building. Remember, every client is that's the client that's going to refer you more business. And you want them to be like an apostle out there preaching your word and getting you more business. You know, you're deputizing all of your clients as salesmen, because the more they like you and the more they see that they like, they will mention you to other people. And it's that word of mouth that's going to seal the next contract and the next deal. Since it's Christmas time coming up, it's going to be here very soon. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. I know you're going to be purchasing things from Amazon, or you know someone that's going to purchase from Amazon. Please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Bookmark that, save that, use that, and that really helps support the show. The other link, miketechshow.com/Amazon, or just find your way back to my site, click on that link, and when you go to Amazon, your price is the same, but a portion comes back as a commission to the Mike Tech Show. You would not believe how important that is to me. I so appreciate everybody for using my link. You know, I beg and plead every show, and it really makes a difference. And I'm so happy that you continue to use it. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing that link and using it. I really appreciate it. And it really makes a big difference in supporting the show. It truly does. I have some music for tonight's show, and this is, we'll call it Creed Unplugged. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Hurry for a child that makes it through, if there's any way, because the answer lies in you. Then lay to rest before they've known just what to do. The souls are lost because they could never find what's this life for? What's this life for? This life for? What's this life on your plane? Don't say your last prayer, because you can never find. Don't
that is Creed, What's This Life For?, the acoustic version. And hope you enjoyed that. And I will have a link where you can purchase Creed's music from Amazon.com. And I'll have my link for that. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed and for hanging out in the show live and just participating and all your great voicemails and emails. I love it. Thank you so much. And don't forget, use my Amazon link. Don't forget, stop by instanthousecall.com and all my other links. You can find them at miketechshow.com. That's it. I'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.